Welcome, everybody. This is Louis from The Life Jog, aka The Life Journey of Growth. I hope you guys are hearing me. I have the headset last time. The whole system was not working, but I think this time it's working well. But yeah, welcome to everybody. If it's the first time you're watching us, this is The Life Journey of Growth, where we learn. We invest in ourselves to become better versions of ourselves, and then so that we can be assets and resources to the next generation. And so this is basically kind of like a journey that my wife and I, Rachel and I, went on to become a better version of ourselves. And then we can show others that, hey, we can fail, but we can learn from our experiences. We can grow. You know, it's a tough process, but we can go through it all together. But also we say, you know what? We're only 2 people out of 8 billion people. So why don't we just invite other people to share their journey of growth so that you can get some information from it, some knowledge, some wisdom. You can hear a different line of work, different careers, different entrepreneurship journeys, like basically different lives, so that you can get as much information, as much wisdom as possible. You can adapt it to our life. So this is for the next generation, and for those who are listening to us, who want to grow. And today we have Loria, who is, I call her a I don't want to say a Jill, she is a Loria of all trade. She is a woman of all trade. She has multiple hats, and her story, her being, her journey is a very rich journey. And I'm intrigued because the title say, what is a Reiki healer? Let's talk about holistic healing with Loria. And to be honest, I am not that versed in this subject. So I'm going to learn as much as you, and we are going to learn together through this interview. So Loria, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure. When we met, and you had 2 pages because I found you through a group that we are both part of, and then I saw both of your pages. I was like, this is very interesting. And then thank you so much for like even accepting our invitation to show up, because it's just very good to just like hear about other things that you don't know and learn from it, you know? Mm-hmm. So you say you are a Reiki healer. Now I'm going to go straight to the point, and then before I go backward, what is a Reiki healer?
That's a great question. So Reiki healing is simply energy healing. That's the simplest way to put it. There are different forms of Reiki healing. The type of Reiki healing that I studied and got certified in is called Kemetic Reiki healing, which originated obviously in Egypt and Kemet. So that's the type of Reiki that I study. And just a little bit more detail about how it actually works. Like I said, it's energy healing. And because we are made up of energy, we have a whole energy body, which we identify as chakras and our aura. We can heal our energy. We can use our own energy. We can use universal energy to heal our own energy as well as others. It's often done with your hands. You often use your hands to use your hands to heal other people's energy. But there are other ways to do it as well. So it's not just one way to do it, but it's all about healing energy.
I told you this is something that I'm not versed into. You're talking about energy healing. To be honest, most of the time when you hear healing, you hear the hospital. Right? I mean, in the Western world that we're living in.
Medicine.
Medicine. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
You hear medicine. Mm-hmm. Like, energy. Like, how did you come about it? Like, where did you start with it? Like, you just, you know, in the world that we live in, this is kind of like foreign language. So, what got you interested into this field?
My story is actually rather interesting in that regard, because, I'm big on finding your gifts. The whole motto of Prominent Jewels is unlocking your gifts. And I didn't realize that this was a gift that I had, a gift of healing. I didn't realize it right away. But I came upon Reiki healing sort of by accident. I was familiar with it. I had heard of it, but wasn't well versed in it. I hadn't studied it, hadn't researched it. At one point, I really struggled with anxiety and depression, mostly anxiety all of my life, on and off with depression all of my life. And then after having my son, I had depression. You might call it postpartum depression, but my depression started while I was pregnant, so I don't just call it postpartum depression, but depression and anxiety got worse. And so after having my son, I went on vacation. It was about a year, maybe 2 years later. I went on vacation. Oh, no, let me back it up. Because of my anxiety was so bad, I sought out therapy again to address my anxiety. And I knew going into it, I was like, you know what? My energy is not right. I feel like dark clouds are following me everywhere I go, like bad energy is following me everywhere I go. And I need to work on that. But I knew I had to start with myself. I knew enough to know that I was attracting negative energy. I didn't know yet how I was doing it, why I was doing it, but I knew that it started with me. And I was like, this just isn't right. I got to figure out why this energy is so heavy. And it's like everything I do, everything I touch is just so much negativity surrounding it. So I got to get to the bottom of this. And so that's where I started. At that point, I started doing, working on being mindful. So mindfulness and meditation, and just really focusing on my own energy and my being. And so soon after that, maybe only a few months after that, I went to Greece and on vacation. While I was there, I went to get a massage. And so the guy who was massaging me, he started, I noticed because I was on my stomach, laying on my stomach, he's massaging my back. And I noticed he's not massaging, but he's like, his hands are hovering over my body and he's moving up and down my back. And although I can't see it, I can sense that he's doing something with my energy. And so I didn't say anything. I just relaxed and I, you know, let him do whatever he was doing. I turned over on my back and then I saw he started to tell me he was doing the same thing. He was telling me what he was doing as he was doing it. And he started asking me questions. He said, have you experienced any trauma in your womb area? And I was like, no. and he was like, well, you have some really heavy energy here. It's like, do you have really bad menstrual cycles? And I was like, not especially. Okay, well, I'm just going to send you some more positive energy in this area because you need to, you know, your womb area is. And as he said, the energy here is not really good. I'm going to send you some good energy there. So this is the terminology he used. He didn't say anything, you know, specific about Reiki. He didn't use technical terms or anything. That's just what he said. And I'm like, okay. So then it dawned on me. He's healing my energy. So once I got out of the session, we went out in the lobby and we talked. And he said, your crown chakra is very open. Your heart is open. He said, but your throat chakra is closed. He said, you need to speak more. You need to express yourself more. But you are receiving a lot of information. You've taken a lot of information. Your crown chakra is very open. But you have to express yourself more. Because your throat chakra seems to be closed.
Okay. All right. You just threw a bunch of stuff out there in the in like a 5-minute story. I need to step back a little bit. So you're trying to tell me that you go get a massage. This individual is giving you a massage, but he's not touching you, but his hands.
He did touch me for the massage, but he stopped for the energy. Stopped touching me for the energy healing.
So it was a massage that included energy healing. So you already knew about energy healing before going there.
Not much, and I was not expecting it. I didn't know the details of it, of how it worked. I was aware of energy. I was aware that there was a way to heal energy, but I didn't, and I'd heard of Reiki, but I didn't know the details of it. So when he did it, I didn't necessarily say, oh, he's using Reiki energy to heal me. He's using Reiki healing to heal my energy. That wasn't the terminology I had because I hadn't been that familiar with it. But I knew, I just sensed it. I knew he was healing my energy or sending me good energy. I knew it was energy work when he did it.
Okay. So you knew it was energy work without even knowing the terminology. But but I'm going to go back now. I'm going to take you way back. You know, in our community, whenever somebody's going through stuff, we say pray about it. So, like, you know where I'm going with this now. What got you to say, to take the, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to kind of not dismiss the prayer about it, but I'm going to go another route. What got you to go in that direction? Did you grow up in a holistic background? Did you grow up in a Christian background? Did you grow up in a Muslim background? Like, I want to hear more about this because.
So I'll try to make that story as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. My family is not very religious. Mm-hmm. I had the option to go. They introduced me to church. I had the option to go to church. And I always went to a Church of Christ or a Baptist church. Mm-hmm. Later, as a teenager, I went to a Church of Christ. My parents never forced me. If I wanted to go, I just called family members who were going and I go with them. There was never an issue. It was never, you know, one where it was, I was never forced or anything. I chose it. But I've always been very inquisitive. And it didn't, after a while, it just didn't sit well with me. And as a high school student growing up in Detroit, there was a time when a lot of children were being murdered. People I went to school with were dying. Yeah. And I started to develop a fear of death. And so I started to go to church more. But I still didn't have complete faith. I just went out of fear. I don't know. Honestly, I was just fearful that I would die.
Soon. Exactly. So you were fearful that you would die, and if you die, your soul would probably. What about your soul? That's really what happened, right?
Okay. So much. I just thought, well, this would help to ease the fear and the stress of all that was going on around me. But that only lasted maybe a year because by the time I went to college, I had decided I was atheist. But that only, then I decided, you know what, then I'll be agnostic because I know there's a higher power. I just can't define it or put my finger on it yet. Mm-hmm. So while I was in college, I took a class on African-American religion.
Yeah.
And, you know, that really confirmed what I already started to believe.
What did you learn? What did you learn in that? Please, can you dive in a little bit into that? What did you learn? What got you to turn? Because that was a turning point.
So I already didn't believe in Christianity anymore because it didn't add up. It didn't make sense to me. It wasn't logical, and I've always been a very logical person. And it didn't add up to me. It didn't make sense to me. So I said, you know, this can't be it. And I gave up religion altogether. And then I was like, well, maybe I don't need religion. Maybe I just need to understand spirituality. And then when I started to study African-American religion, the class was called African-American Reflection on Racism. And then I took another class at the same time. It was called African-American Religion. Mm-hmm. So I was taking these two classes at the same time while attending a predominantly white school where I almost never had any other students of color in my classes or in my dorm. So it was a lot to take on my first year of college, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much about how we came to be religious people in America, in the Western world. Mm-hmm. How it started, I learned about the Nation of Islam. I learned about Christianity, how it was forced upon us as slaves. I learned about the different aspects of Christianity that Black people adopted and made their own, and which later turned into, you know, the church, the Baptist church and things like that.
Yeah.
So basically the origins of it and how it indoctrinated us into the slavery mindset. And so it really just confirmed for me that the religion was not for me.
Exactly.
And I decided that I would do away with religion altogether and focus more on spirituality.
Awesome. Awesome. Spirituality. And the spirituality is basically the connection to the higher being. Like, and that's what you were looking for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when your spirit is, you will say your spirit is yearning for that connection with the most high or the higher being, you will go find the information.
Yes.
That's basically what happened. So from that point on, now you were interested in spirituality. Mm-hmm. And in your journey to finding spirituality, you learn about energy, right?
It was a lot in between, but eventually, yes.
Now, because I'm trying to get to, okay, let me just do this. Okay. I see also you are a licensed therapist, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. So your bachelor, you got a bachelor's in therapy?
I have a master's. So the way therapy works, you have to have a master's to become licensed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a master's in community counseling, and I was nationally certified counselor.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional counselor, also provisionally licensed in the state of Georgia, mm-hmm. to practice as a professional counselor, and that is that encompasses mental health and behavioral health. I don't currently practice as a therapist.
So what got you? Okay, now I'm gonna go back into that. What got you interested in therapy? Why get you into
therapy? So I went to college thinking I wanted to be a lawyer and a fashion designer. So I went to a school that offered a little bit of both. And so while I was there, the school I chose didn't offer pre-law. So I said, I'll just major in English, a liberal arts background will get me into law school. I'll be fine. Well, first semester in, I'm taking all these English classes because I was always good at English. I just took all these English classes. I was like, this isn't it for me. I'm going to just make fashion my major. Mm-hmm. And I need to figure out what it is I want to do because I always knew I wanted to help people. I always knew I had to help people in some form or fashion for my career. Mm-hmm. And about a year into my major as a fashion, in fashion design, I realized it wasn't fulfilling. I felt it was very superficial. I didn't feel I was impacting enough lives, or that I didn't see myself being impactful as a fashion designer.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that I always wanted to help kids who came from backgrounds like mine, where I come from the inner city, and I always saw kids who just were affected by poverty.
Violence, just depression. I grew up in the inner city too. It's like a cloud. The inner city, unfortunately, it's like a cloud. I grew up in the heart of DC,
Yeah.
And until you get out of the hood,
yep.
Until you get out of it, you don't understand. Like, you just wonder, like, what, like, you were, like, living on survival mode.
Yeah.
And that's where you were trying to help, basically.
Yeah, and then somehow I've always had this sense of knowing, and we can talk about that a little bit later. My gift has always been to heal, because even while I was in it and of it, for the most part, I still had the foresight that we didn't have to be products of our environment. And that was my whole thing. Of my friends from middle school on, I always knew we don't have to be what we see around us. We don't have to be what they expect us to be. We can make it out of this. And I have sisters. So I always lived my life as an example for them, because we all grew up in the same house, went to the same schools, played in the same neighborhoods. And I thought, I don't want my sisters to think that they have to be what everybody expects them to be, and they don't have to be products of their environment. But I didn't know at the time how that translated into a career. So in college, it took me a little while to figure out, wait a minute, I want to be a therapist, because the only thing I could think of was a mentor. I was like, but mentoring doesn't generate money, really.
Exactly.
I wouldn't make a living off of that. How do I make a living off of this? And now it dawned on me, I need to be a therapist.
Yeah.
So
even in the field of therapy, I have a friend of mine that is in the same line of you. She had a master and was licensed in the Maryland area. Mm-hmm. Even that, you have to work with different organizations to kind of make a decent living.
Yeah.
Because you're really at the service of the youth or the people or the person that you're serving. But most of the time, you're serving people that don't have the opportunity to pay you know, that's right, correct? So you really got, you kind of like found your way through college and found that, okay, you have this gift of healing. So you went into therapy because you knew that that was a way, that was one of the avenues to heal some of our people from the
background. I didn't realize then that I was a healer. I knew that I had to help people. I didn't know that translated into me being a healer. I just knew I wanted to help people. So I I picked up a minor in youth studies. I graduated and then I went into grad school for counseling, because to become a therapist, you have to have a master's. So that's what I did. I went to grad school, studied community counseling in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I became a therapist.
And then you served as a therapist for how long?
A few years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before you liked it.
Education. And I started working with the same population, but in alternative education.
Alternative education. Did you like it?
Yes, I really enjoyed working with those students. I was a college and career coach, and I created and implemented a program for I think it was about 19 school districts in the state of Georgia and in Alabama. So I created a college and career program that would allow these students opportunities to go to trade schools, taught them how to get, first of all, preparing them for work, period.
Exactly.
How to interview, how to apply for jobs, how to dress for a job, how to apply for college, how to take college tests, giving them the opportunity to take the college tests in an environment that they're familiar with, that they have access to, took them on college tours. Now, again, this is an alternative program. These are not students in the mainstream schools. All these students were either expelled from the mainstream schools or had extenuating circumstances that did not allow them to attend or thrive in a mainstream
environment. Like the after school, the GED school?
No.
It was before that.
No, yes, it wasn't after school. It wasn't GED. It was for a high school diploma. It just was, the classes were online. They did most of their work was in software platforms on the computers. Mm-hmm. And they had shorter school days. So they have morning session for about 4 hours, and they have an afternoon session for about 4 hours, and then they had night school for about 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And this was for middle and high school. Mm-hmm. So I worked with middle and high school students to prepare them for the world of work and college. And none of these kids had these opportunities before. The program basically didn't exist. I walked in there, I had no guidance, no tools, no resources, no support. I was constantly advocating for my students. My staff, my supervisors were going against me because they didn't believe in what I was doing for the students. But I did it single-handedly
for
19 districts.
It's crazy because when you look at the condition of Black students in the system, we need more help. Especially when we come from the inner city, we need more assistance from just a mental standpoint because of everything that we deal with our surrounding, because that surrounding affects how we integrate information that we get from school and even how we get this information and apply it into the real world. And most of the time, our school district that we're part of is most of the time like not funded enough to give us all the tools that we need to succeed moving forward.
Yeah.
And really, you know, hats off to you for taking on this role and really guiding these young people that nobody was really looking after. Thank you so much. So now I know we dive into it. So now we're going to dive into holistic healing. So you finish, you went into college, you got your master's, you work for the school districts, and then what happened? How did you become a holistic healer?
This job became, the college and career coach really catapulted my journey to to discover my gifts. Mm-hmm. That was one of the catalysts. I was quickly promoted. I worked my way up in that company because there weren't many people there really as devoted to the work as I was. I was quickly promoted, and the positions that I was promoted to didn't exist. They were created for me. So there wasn't a clear-cut path or trajectory for me in that company. I had gotten to a point where they were just trying to kind of stick me wherever. I mean, I was at this point, I was in leadership. I quickly became a part of the leadership team. But because they created my position for political reasons, they often had to, I had to wear many hats. I'll say that. I had to wear many hats, and it became stressful. I was removed from the classroom, so I didn't get to work directly with students as much as I did. And that kind of bothered me a little bit. But I thought, you know what, from this position, I'd be able to make decisions, to help make decisions that will help the students.
Okay.
And I did get to do that for a little bit, but it got to be very toxic.
Yeah.
Very political. And
It took the fun out of it. It took the purpose out of it, because you knew you were working. You were basically operating in your space of genius, which is your space of healing. And now with the political barrier and all those things that were kind of like clouding your work, you didn't find the purpose, the fun, and then it became more like political work. So
it became very stressful. And at that point, I knew it was time to go. My anxiety had worsened, and it was just unbearable at that point. I was getting physically sick and I had to go to work because of the anxiety. And I don't know how much you or everyone else knows about anxiety, but it shows up in many ways. And one thing about
I have ulcers. When you get that bad, I have acid reflux. I have bad ulcer to the point where
one thing about and one thing about being out of balance is that your body will always let you know when something is wrong, whether it be, but if it gets to the point of physical pain, you have let it go too far. It has gone unaddressed for far too long, because at that point, that's your body screaming to you that something is wrong. You have to stop. You have to change, because it starts long before the pain does. The pain is your signal that it's time to change now. And at that point, you know, my anxiety was causing, basically I was having stomach aches, headaches, and, you know, just things like that. And because I had struggled with anxiety for so long, I knew what was going on. I knew the signs, and I was like, okay, this is it. I have to let go. But I wasn't sure what I was going to do next. And I had already decided, I had already started my jewelry business, because I went on, let's see, what did I go on? I had already started my jewelry business, but it wasn't doing much. And so at that point I started my jewelry business. I was just selling other people's jewelry. It was just fashion jewelry and accessories. It was nothing meaningful or whatever, just jewelry. Cause I was like, I'm going to start here. I don't know exactly what I want to do with it yet, but I just want to start here. So I'd already started, but wasn't putting much work into. I was working still.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I say, okay, so you started, you were already selling jewelries and you didn't know what you were going to do. So my next guess is that you looked at your talent and you kind of like say, you know what, let me go into healing people and do it privately on the private sector.
I decided to heal myself.
Ooh.
I decided to heal myself. And I went to a spiritual healing retreat for, I think it was about 5 or 6 days. I don't remember. And it was the most transformational time and experience of my life. And during that retreat is when I became certified in Reiki healing. I went into it thinking that I'm going to go heal myself. I'm going to get healing. But when I got there, I realized not only am I healing myself, I'm healing other people. I'm learning to heal other people. And then at the end of it, I became certified as a Reiki healer. And I didn't go into it thinking like I'm going to become a Reiki healer. I went into it thinking I got to heal myself. This is it. I have to do this. Because okay. It's time.
Wow. So basically, you go on a 6 days journey, spiritual journey, that transformed your life, basically.
Yes.
And you went on it in that journey because you realized that you needed to work on yourself first if you want to get to the next, basically to move forward with your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. It means that you did enough introspection in you to realize that there was something wrong, or not something wrong, but there was an imbalance that you needed to kind of like balance out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I had already started my spiritual journey by that point, but this was the turning point for me. It was the most pivotal moment for me. I had already started doing the spiritual work to heal myself, but it was not nearly what I was doing up until that point was not as impactful as that experience.
Okay.
So that was the pivotal point for me where I physically, emotionally, spiritually healed. Like when I say literally, generational curses were broken, the chains were broken in that experience. It was amazing. And we talk about it. We say, oh, you're breaking generational curses. That's why things are so hard for you, you know, because you're the first one to do it. When I say I literally had a spiritual encounter with spirit. And I don't want to lose too many people here. I don't know how many people are familiar with the Orisha.
You go ahead, sis. Here in this page, we have, you know, Christians sharing their faith. We have Africans sharing their faith too. So
okay, so
share with us. We're here to learn.
Okay, so during the retreat, there are a lot of spiritual healers. You might know them as priests. Priestesses and, you know, things like that. So it wasn't just like a bunch of people getting together talking about healing. This was a legitimate retreat for healing with priestesses who are well experienced in what they do and actually very well known. So anyway, during my process, at one point, I actually had an encounter with a spiritual guide.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke my chains, broke my generational curses.
That's powerful. That's powerful, especially when you think about Africans in the diaspora. I don't like to say African American because it was a slang. It's a term that was slapped on our people. But African in the diaspora, when you think about how much you have been through over the years in generation and direct connection to the motherland, will be through your ancestors at the end of the day. So
they showed up for me too. Ancestors showed up for me. The Orisha showed up for me. When everybody showed up for me, there was no way that I couldn't have healed from this experience. And it just showed me that, I mean, it really unlocked everything within me that the trauma had, you know, locked up for all these years. It's like everything was locked away in this vault, and I didn't have the key or the code. I couldn't open it until that moment. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, it was amazing. It was the most amazing feeling of my life. Mm-hmm. And I felt so free after that, honestly. And it happened early on in the retreat. So throughout the retreat, we continue to do healing practices because there are so many different practices that can bring you to that point of healing. You can do all of them. You can do some of them. But at that point, I was good. I was like, I'm going to go through all the other exercises, but I'm healed.
Yeah, I'm healed. I broke the curse. I broke all the weight that was on my back. Everything, my aunts, because, you know, trauma is passed down to generation, and trauma becomes part of our DNA. So when we are born, we carry the trauma of our ancestors at the end of the day. That's true. For you, that's where everything broke down. So you say, you know what? And then at the end, so basically the day one, you got healed. And then you basically went on the rest of the journey because you were already healed on day one. Then you kind of like fast track, and by the end you were kind of healing other people. Okay, I see now. Now that
so it wasn't sense. Day one though. That didn't happen on day one. There were a couple of things that happened that really got me there. But what I learned most throughout that experience was that number one, I have to search within. Whatever my issues are, my triggers are, my gifts are, everything, my obstacles, it's all within me. And if I figure out who I am, what I am, what I'm capable of, there is nothing outside of me that can overtake what's within me. I just have to know that it starts with me.
You basically became your own therapist. You kind of reverse engineer whatever you do for other people. You say, let me sit back and have my own little therapy session. And then you realize this is beyond just a therapy session.
Yeah.
I need to go to the next level. I need to tap into my spiritual being. And that's powerful. Maybe I need to do that for myself too. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I need to take it to the next level now.
You know, one thing about anxiety, it's important to be able to lose control if you want to heal from anxiety. Because anxiety results in the need to control. You have, and you may not see it as clearly right away, but if you do some inventory, just evaluate your life. You know, think about all the things that bring you anxiety. What are you afraid of? And typically, the root of it is that you can't control the outcome. If you can't control the outcome, then you get anxiety about what's going to happen. So now, and you can't enjoy this moment, because you have to prepare for the moments that you can't control. That's the thinking, is that you have to prepare and do everything that you can to avoid and prevent circumstances that you ultimately have no control over. But when you can lose control, you can go with the flow of the universe. You can go with the flow that is designed for you to go with in the first place. But when you're so busy trying to control things, you're missing all the opportunities that are flowing to and around you.
You sound like my coach. Well, I went to
sound like your coach know what they're talking about.
she's also an energy coach. So okay, when I hear you guys talk, it's okay. Okay, my wife said the same thing. Hey, bro, you need to stop. Okay, thank you. I mean, you know, it's difficult. To be honest, it's difficult. It's difficult to let go. It's difficult to not control.
It is. And you know how I learned this? This was during my healing retreat as well. And I knew what it would take. Because honestly, I had to help people through their anxiety. And I think this is... I'll digress just for a little. This is a common misconception. People think that therapists have it all together and they got all the answers, and so they don't have any problems, but we do. And it's just best that therapists have their own therapists to work through their own issues so that they're not projecting it onto their clients. So I've helped others get over anxiety. I've worked myself through anxiety, you know, so that it doesn't become overwhelming to the point where I can't function. But I hadn't gotten to the root of the problem. And I didn't realize that until this healing retreat. We had, there is a one healing technique where you bury yourself in the sand.
I've seen that before. Okay. Give me 2 minutes. What does that sound? What does that look? Basically,
you bury yourself in the sand. Just like what you take your kids to the beach, you dig up some sand, lay them in them and bury it. That's exactly.
But in the beach, though, you have your head out so you can breathe.
Yes, you have your head out. You have your head out. You're not burying your head. Okay. You bury everything up, I guess, to your neck. Now, this was a turning point for me as well, because I was all gung-ho. I'm like, all right, we're getting in the sand. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm digging. I'm ready. They're like, you can go first. I'm like, cool. I jump in the hole, right? I'm ready to go. I'm good. Like, I got this. I get in there and they start pushing the sand, and they said, you got to put your arms in there. I said, no, I'm going to leave my arms out. They said, no, You have to bury your whole body in the sand.
Because you cannot control everything. It's only your head. Ooh.
I broke into tears. I put my arms in there. I did it. I wasn't going to resist, but I was so nervous because if I can't control anything else, I need to be able to control myself. That was my thing. I have to be able to control myself and ensure my own safety. And all I could think was, if I can't push myself out of this sand, I have to rely on somebody else to get me out of here. And they said, we're not going to, you know, they could sense that I was getting nervous. And then, so I let them do it. And they just comforted me. And they say, you know, we'll stay right here with you. No worries. You know, I'm not going to leave your side. And I put my arms in there and they buried me up to my neck. And I just laid there and the tears just flowed. Yeah. And I just told myself, it's okay. It's okay to lose control. You're safe. You're fine. You know, you're not in harm's way. But I also think about how if the waves come up high enough and hit me in my face, then and pack all that sand down.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But I was creating all of these situations that in my mind that weren't even a threat.
Exactly. It's not factual.
It wasn't a threat.
No, factual. I remember when I went to the therapy, they said, whatever you're creating in your head, is it factual? No. Is the sand going to go? No. So why you put it out of your head?
It's a possibility, but I was so worried about the worst case scenario that I wasn't focusing on the best outcome.
Yes.
Which was returning to the earth, connect with the earth, to ground myself and connect with the universe. To connect with the spirits around me. And that was what it was all about. And that's how you become, when you are anxious, you're not grounded. When you are anxious, you're not centered. Mm-hmm. When you're anxious, you can't go with the flow. Mm. Because you're pushing and you're forcing and you're trying to control everything. Everything is just so contrived. You're not free.
Exactly. I was going to say in French, tout à fait. Effectively. Okay, so that journey basically transformed your life. Like, I feel like you now we're having a little therapy healing Reiki session right here. It's Reiki, not Reiki. Mm-hmm. Reiki. You came out of it. You came out as a Reiki healer. Mm-hmm. So now, were you able to add it to what you were already doing? Because you already know the therapy world. You know how to manage stress, how to help people overcome anxiety. Now in your new endeavor, mm-hmm. how do you go about it when, let's say, a person like me comes to you and say, I need a therapy session? Because most of the time, you're still going to have to you present yourself as a therapist, because that's what people understand, right? Mm-hmm. So when you present yourself as a therapist, now a person come and know I'm getting a therapy session with you. But then with your other ability now, you're able to connect with the energy and help them heal, correct?
So I don't actually practice therapy anymore.
Okay.
I'm in another state. So they're working on this now, where people can work across states, but you have to get licensed in each state that you want to work.
That's
and
crazy.
Now that I'm in Michigan, I'm not licensed in Michigan. I'm licensed in Georgia, so I don't practice in Michigan. Also, I find that I am more passionate about and more interested in, and I think that I can be more impactful with energy healing than mental and behavioral health therapy. Mm-hmm. Because there are some limitations that exist depending on the environment in which you're doing the therapy. Like if you're working for certain agencies, if they have certain practices and modalities that they prefer, because especially when you're billing for insurance, there are certain ways you have to go about it. It doesn't allow for as much freedom to explore mm-hmm. spirituality and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm more impactful with energy healing than mental and behavioral health therapy. But I think that everything has its place. Everything mm-hmm. has its use. It's important to understand how the mind works. It is important to understand sociology and psychology. It all has its place. It's all beneficial. But I think that being able to go within and connect with yourself spiritually is way more powerful.
This conversation was, to be honest, I'm so happy that this conversation happened now, because for me, myself, this is a confirmation, like, you know, in this way, it was a confirmation that, brother, you need to step back, step up into your spiritual world. My wife has already told me that, but it's taking me to let go of control.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, control, because I don't know if you believe, I know you believe in that, in astrology, but I'm the sign that that loves to calculate everything. I'm not gonna say it here. Everybody's gonna start. You guys can go ahead.
And you know, I already got my thoughts. I already got my ideas. And see, with holistic health, it's all encompassing. I believe that everything has its place. There's astrology. There's numerology, and I've studied a little bit more of numerology than astrology, but I believe in numerology, astrology, spirituality, mental, physical health, everything. I believe everything has its place, but I do believe that it all should come from a natural source. So I don't believe in medicine necessarily.
Oh yeah. Same here.
I'm not saying that medicine doesn't have a place. Like, for example, if I was in a car accident, I wouldn't say, no, don't take me to the hospital.
Exactly.
Don't stitch me up, you know.
That's the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to stitch you back up or to cut you in a certain place, like somehow. But as far as like healing from a spiritual standpoint, because our way of moving is spiritual. Yeah. We are the being that are mostly connected to earth and nature. That's why wherever we are, whether it is in the United States, in the motherland, in South America, in China, we are the most whole people. I don't know. We are the most whole people. It's because we are connected to creation. And creation is whatever is around us, nature, water, the earth. So at the end of the day, that's what we need to go back to heal. So everything, whether it's plants, our source of healing come from what? The earth.
Because we are all the same. We are all made up of the same things. And I think that's what we don't realize. When you think about, when you look at how anatomy of plants and human, they're very similar. They're very similar. When you look at how nature works and how our body works, very similar. When you think about what makes our biological being, all of these things can be found in nature. Yes. So we are made up of the same things that our universe is made of. We are the same energy as the universe. It's simply a vibration.
You're going
in. You need the vibration to connect. Yeah. Whatever you vibrate, whatever level you vibrate on, that's what you attract and that's what you connect to. So I think that once we get that understanding, there are so many aspects of it. However, knowing that we are energy that vibrates on the same level as anything else in the universe, you learn that you are one with the universe. So when I say go with the flow, you are connected to that flow. You are that flow. So if you are thinking, because your energy, your thoughts have energy, whatever you think, you manifest subconsciously, consciously, you manifest it. So if you're sitting here thinking like, man, I hate Mondays. Mondays are so hard. They're so long. They're so boring. I hate Mondays. Here comes Monday. I'm not looking forward to Monday. Guess what's going to happen on Monday? You're going to have a dreadful day.
Exactly.
You manifested that. You put that energy out there, and whatever energy that you, whatever level you vibrate on, whatever is vibrating on that level is going to be drawn to that energy. It's drawn to that energy. So if you're a negative person, you're always complaining, you're always mad, you're always sad, you're always depressed, guess who you're going to attract? More depressed people.
Low vibration people.
Yes, you're going to attract people who relate to you, because how can you attract something that you're not vibrating on yourself? Like,
so how do we elevate our vibration level then?
Great question. There, there are a lot of ways to do it. The main thing is starting with your mind.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You have to start with your mind because, like I said, your thoughts have vibrations. That's where it starts. Whatever you think, so you are. As is the saying, as I think, so I am.
Mm-hmm. As you think, so you are.
Mm-hmm. As I think, so I am. And so even just saying, I am. Just say, I am.
I am.
I am.
As you think, I got to write it down. So you.
No, not are. You. It's I. As I think, okay. So I am.
Okay. As I think, I'm writing down. So I am. The reason why I'm writing it down is because of this. I'm going to circle back and I'm going to wrap, kind of like wrap everything that you're saying mm-hmm. since the beginning. To tap into our best self, we need to do the internal work.
Yes.
To go back and change our internal being, to change our thinking, so that we can become the best us, the new us, the most, the part of us that vibrates at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So everything that you do has a, and everything that you think has a vibration, mm-hmm. and effect to raise your vibrations. You can eat healthier. You can eat fresh foods and fruits and vegetables, because our food has vibrations. When you eat live food, like plants,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's going to take us into the last part of the interview. When you eat live food, like plants, basically everything that comes from the earth,
it brings you energy. You're consuming energy. If you kill something before you eat it, now you're consuming death. If you're eating plants, fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables, that is a vibration that you're bringing to, you're bringing life into your body, right? That is a high vibrational energy. If you like to listen to certain frequencies of music, because every frequency of music has an effect on you, whether it be decreasing your vibrations or increasing your vibrations. So anything that's 432 hertz or higher is good for your raising your vibrations.
So what am I going to do now? I'm going to go on Apple Music and be like, mm-hmm. search by hertz. So find me a song that's 432 hertz.
I'm not sure that you can do it on iTunes, but you can do it on YouTube. You can Google high vibrational music or healing vibrational music or 432 hertz music, meditation music. And you know what? I found out Erykah Badu, and I love Erykah Badu, one of my favorite artists. I love her music. All of her songs are in at least 432 hertz.
Goodness, you see, you see why we just everybody here listening, man. This is a podcast, so yeah. If you're watching this in live, you're listening to this, please take a second, pause, go do some YouTube search, 432 hertz music. Now you make me, if I ever make a song, I'm just gonna try to make it at 432 hertz now.
I mean, you could, but if you also consider, you could even, if you want, if for anyone listening who's interested in going further with this,
mm-hmm.
you could find the vibrations that are aligned with the different chakras or different levels of energy. So let's say, for example, if you want to focus on your crown chakra, which is on the top of your head, and this is where you connect to the divine, to have divine connection, spiritual connection. You could find the hertz that connects with that specific chakra for that specific purpose. Honestly, just go to YouTube and put music for crown chakra, music for heart chakra, music for healing depression, meditation music, and it'll come up. Like, it's not hard to find. There's plenty of it out there. And that's another reason, if you want to raise your vibrations, you don't want to listen to most of the music on the radio. Be mindful of what you're listening to, because not only do words manifest, whatever you're speaking now, remember your words have power. So if you speak these vibrations, you are attracting these vibrations, whether consciously or subconsciously. So if you're singing, I'm a savage, I'm single, I'm mingling, I'm depressed, I'm mad, I'm a dog, you are speaking life to these things. So, I'm not trying to bash anybody, because I listen to this stuff too occasionally, you know. I grew up on it, so I'm no stranger to it. But I didn't know the life that I was giving to these words. So if you're constantly singing, I'm out here doing my own thing, I'm back in the streets, I'm a savage, I'm a hoe, I'm a this, I'm a that, then you're attracting that in your life. So you can't be out here saying, I want to get married, I want to have a husband, I want to have a loving, healthy relationship and a family, but you're singing music with messaging that says, I'm a savage. Mm-hmm. Because you're attracting a lifestyle of savagery.
Like, and for men, just give us some example. Like, we got for the sister now, for the men. What are the men saying that I would say negative, that I would just say low vibration, that I keep repeating the same?
First of all, I'm not sure what type of language, how explicit I can be, but anything that is derogatory, period, against yourself and your people, is calling yourself the N word, calling yourself the B word, you know, calling yourself all of these things. You are now placing these labels on yourself, and you're telling the universe, this is who I am. So what the universe is going to do is return to you what you say you are. You say I'm a dog, I don't love nobody, I'm a cold hearted, my heart is an icebox. Guess what? You're manifesting that life for yourself. That's what you're manifesting for yourself, because I am is the beginning of defining who you are. You are telling the universe who you are. As soon as you say, I am, what you say after that goes out into the universe, and the universe does what? Returns it to you.
Man.
Okay. And circling back to me having all of the anxiety and going to therapy and saying, look, I got all this negative energy around me. I don't know what's going on. I feel like it's negativity always following me. What's going on? Yeah. I was bringing that to myself, constantly complaining. And all I talked about was what I didn't want. I worked toward what I wanted, but I complained about what I didn't want. And what did I get? Exactly what I didn't want. Because what you put your energy to is what you manifest. Your thoughts are energy. Your words are energy. Your efforts are energy that you're putting out into the universe. And the universe returns it.
So basically, I'm going to put something here. So everybody, focus on, let me put this keyboard here. You just dropped some gem, and I think I'm gonna send it to my I'm gonna focus on what, let me see, boom, focus on what I want. I want a better life. I want to be happy. I want, no. What is happiness? I am happy.
You claim what you want, because you claim it, because the universe will return it. You say, I am happy. Universe, like, oh, you happy? Cool. Here are some more happy situations. Just like on like iTunes, if you play a song, you like that song, they're going to give you more songs related to the song you like. It's the same thing. I am happy. Everything. So the more you say it, the more you believe it, the more you vibrate on the frequency of happiness, at the frequency of happiness. So when you're emitting happiness, this whole love and happy vibration, people who aren't happy and loving and wanting happiness and love are not drawn to that. In some cases they may be, but they don't know how to appreciate and accept it. But people who are vibrating on that level, you're going to attract them. They're going to attract you, because you're vibrating on that same level.
I have a question. It's my wife. She has a question. Okay. She said, how about vibration in languages? I heard African languages vibration are higher than Western languages.
Yeah. So I can't say for a fact that the African vibrations are higher. However, Western language is known basically as a language of death. Our language speaks death. all the time. English is basically speaking deaf all the time. So when you think about, for example, good morning, you never, and maybe you've probably heard a lot of people say grand rising. I always say grand rising now, but when you hear people say grand rising, it's because that's speaking life. It is a new day, a new sun rising, right? We are appreciating the rising of the sun. When you say good morning, what are we mourning? Why are we mourning? And what's good about mourning? So when you think about the English language and how we speak and a lot of things that we say, it's not speaking life, it's speaking death. The most common religion is Christianity, where we see
death Jesus, everywhere.
Jesus is on the cross, you know, at the crucifix. This represents his death to an extent, but I'm not going to argue this with, you know, people who believe in it. If that's true, it's perfectly fine. But personally, I believe it's a representation of death, whereas the Ankh represents eternal life. So when you think about the language, how we often say things that represent death, we are essentially speaking death in English in everything that we do.
We're going to do more research on that, Ladula Rachel. We're going to do more research on that and we're eventually going to find out the information. But thank you so much for clarifying that. So we just reached the 1 hour mark. I don't want to drag it long. You get it next day and you are a mompreneur. You're a mompreneur. That's the last part of the interview. And we're going to kind of like tackle that real quick. You mentioned something. I want to stick to the vibration. You mentioned that if we want to live in a higher vibration, we must consume food that have higher vibration, such as anything that come from the earth that's eatable.
I can't say anything, but
most of the food basically like plants, fruits, everything, things that come from the earth. Now, when I take it into a vegan mompreneur, so the vegan part is the fact that you are now in line with your life, with your vibration, you resonating in a higher vibration. How about the vending machine business? Because you have, you know, one of our conversations was about vending machine. How did you get into that business, and like, why vegan? Because it's very complicated when you talk about vending business. Vending machine business is very packaged, like chips, you know, candies, like things that are low vibration for your body, things that are basically killing you. That's what are in the vending machine most of the time. But you say, you know what? Let me do something that's aligning with me. What was the challenge in that? And why did you get into that? And how did you get into that?
The short story, my son and I are vegan. And whenever we go anywhere, we don't have snacks to buy. We can't just grab a bag of chips like everyone else. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to solve this problem. I need to have vegan vending machines because people need to be able to have snacks too. Just because I can't. Just because I'm vegan, I can't have snacks while I'm in a waiting room at a car dealership. Like, I'm at work and I can't get anything out of the vending machine all day. Nothing.
So you saw the problem. You said, you know what? I'm going to be the solution to this.
Yep. That was it. That's what it came down to.
You're basically that kind of person then.
Yeah. A problem solver.
That's powerful because that's very powerful. And that's what I want everybody to listen. That's listening to pay attention. An entrepreneur is a problem solver. You saw a problem. Let's even go back to you taking on this role in the school system. You saw a problem that they basically didn't even create a solution. You went in, you created a solution and you were the solution and they didn't know what to put you. You know, then they create a political blah blah blah, and you get out of it. No, so now you find yourself in a position where I need vending machine. Here's the problem. Instead of saying let somebody else give us a vending machine, you say I'm going to be the one. You know what? I like to go into mindset. What in you always puts you in a position to be? I want to be the solution to the problem.
It's just who I am. I mean, that's my gift. That's one of my gifts. We all come with many gifts, and mine is healing. So, and that has been a gift in itself of discovering that my gift is healing. I'm a healer. So if this is what I'm doing is helping me to heal myself, and I'm supposed to heal other people, I'm sharing it. I'm going to share it with everybody else, because I know there are other vegans out there who want snacks. Like, so if I'm the one to come up with the idea, it's the reason I have the idea.
And you just decide to go on to this journey of finding vending machine, and at the vending machine with the, how you call it again, refrigerated?
So if it's for cold drinks, yeah. If it's for cold drinks, it will be. If not, then just snacks. It doesn't need to be.
Do you create your own snacks, or do you already have a selection of snacks that are? Okay.
Yeah, it's just like any other vending machine. You go and buy snacks and put them in there. It's the same thing, except they're vegan snacks and they're healthier. And honestly, my sister had come up with the idea of having vending machines years ago, but we were going to do it together, didn't end up doing it. And it wasn't until years later, I was like, man, I need a vegan vending machine. That's something, you know, focus on that. So, but I wasn't always vegan, so it wasn't always a problem.
Okay. So, wow, you're a boss lady, basically. You see problems, you say, you know what, I'm just going there. But, you know, people are afraid of entrepreneurship. So, in closing of this interview, I want you to give us a little, kind of like, because we have a lot of young people that are going to be watching this, you know. They heard your story. Your story is very powerful. And I thank you so much for sharing the ups and downs, the journey of growth, because it's been a path, right? It's not like a linear path to where you are today. It's been lows and highs, and really finding the right resonance in between. Mm-hmm. If you have an advice to give to any young person that is a healer too, what advice would you give them, especially from the standpoint of how to spot their gift? Mm-hmm. And take it to where they can live a fulfilled life.
My advice to young healers, if you're not sure that you're a healer, first of all, look at the pattern of your life. What have you always enjoyed doing from the time you were a child? Find the common theme, and that will help you to identify if you're a healer. If you're not sure, look into numerology, your life path number, or your natal birth chart. There are plenty of people out here doing it. You can Google it, find somebody who can help you, or a service that can, you know, give you a quiz or whatever. Or go to my page at prominentjewels.com, my Instagram, Prominent Jewels, and I have information on there about how to find your life path number. But this gives you an idea of the purpose of your life. You are a healer. Find your passion and figure out how to apply that to help others. Just because you're a healer does not mean you have to heal in every way possible. You have your own special way, your own special gift of healing. That's what you tap into. And your gifts will always make a way for you. Everything you need to know, you know. You have everything you need within you. If you need more information, it will be presented to you when you need it. Don't worry about if you have all the answers or not. You know everything you need to know right now. And that's it.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah, I'm going to take a second right now. Thank you so much, Luria, for sharing everything that you share with us today. You dropped so many gems. I actually saw the spark in you throughout the interview when we tapped into healing, and that's when I see that you're very passionate about it.
Yeah,
really, thank you so much. Don't stop what you're doing, no matter what. Don't stop, because like you say, you are a healer, so that thing is always going to find you, and it's always going to drag you back into who you are. So I'm going to take a second to share your pages with everybody, so everybody watching this right now, six people, and in the future, those are going to watch this in replay.
Yeah.
I want you guys to pay attention to this page, okay? Now, I want you to do two things. I want you to go to Instagram. For those who are on Instagram, you can see here, I'm gonna like this. Boom. So this is definitely her page, right? Because you can see she posted the conversation that we have right now. Go on her page, Prominent Jewels, and we didn't even tap into the jewels yet. The only time we heard about jewels was from the fashion industry, but we never got the chance to tap into. But you know, maybe we can have a second interview where we really dive deep into the Reiki healing with the jewels, right? The jewelries.
Yeah.
We're definitely gonna have a second one. This, like Charmaine say here, this was a very great dialogue, and honestly, you are in your space of genius. So,
oh, thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. So here's a page right now, right? So everybody, please go to Prominent Jewels. Prominent Jewels, and you follow on Instagram. And like you said, there's a link tree here. I'm going to click on the link tree. Oh, you see, I'm discovering too. So now we got the shop online. You got the shop apparel. You got the YouTube. You have a YouTube channel too?
I do.
Okay, good. I'm going to go now. Like, everybody's going to watch. I'm doing it live. Okay, you got 271 subscribers. I'm going to subscribe here. And I'm going to go dive into. Okay, you got a couple of videos. That's pretty good. Okay. All right, you got waist beads, custom order the bracelet and necklaces, event party booking. You are the true entrepreneur. Like, you are the entrepreneur lady. And that's what you say. You have everything within you. Mm-hmm. You have everything within you, and that's what you're basically doing and showing. And you have a blog too. Okay, what new product do you want to see from us? Take a survey. So this is basically a page for everybody that's watching here. And this is the website. I love the design. So
thank you. I did all of that myself.
You built it yourself?
Yeah.
No jokes. I tried to build a website and it was a piece of work. So everybody go check out prominentjewels.com. So anyway, it's getting very late. Everybody, please, in the comment section, drop a plus, drop a fire, drop a thank you, drop everything that you want to drop in the comment section to say thank you, Loria. Oh, we have Davida Marshall. We say great job, Loria. I just love her. you got a lot of love here today, but honestly, that was such a powerful conversation. I'm definitely going to listen to it again. Because your journey is definitely an inspiring journey. It's definitely, it aligns with the journey of growth, yeah, basically. So we're going to have, definitely going to have a part two in the next few months. And for those interested in Reiki healing, if you are a healer yourself, if you are a therapist yourself, if you need a session in Reiki healing, if you need to align your energy, if you need to start vibrating very high, and reach out to Loria. You have a website, you have an Instagram, mm-hmm. You know where to find her interview. Just come back and watch this interview again. And you can listen to this interview, I think, starting tomorrow and the day after tomorrow on Apple Podcast, on the Life Jog, JOG. Journey of growth. Okay, so Loria, thank you so much. Everybody that listen, thank you so much. And we're gonna see you on Saturday for our French live, and next Tuesday evening at 9 p.m for another interview with another guest. Have a blessed, everybody, have a blessed evening.